Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 202. Let's roll.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He used to play roller hockey in his driveway. Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Ditch the busy work, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love how adaptable Indeed is, and it's just your all-in-one hiring platform. You can do everything on there, interviews, messaging. There's nothing else that you need. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me today. This is session 202, and I'm really excited because I have a great story to share. You know, sometimes we do things on our blog, and we don't even realize the impact that we're having, or on our podcast, or on, you know, whatever content that we have to share. We sometimes don't even realize the impact that we're making. And it's only until people tell you that you've made a change in their life that it just really makes things worthwhile. And that's why I always encourage people to collect their thank you notes, to keep track of all the times that people have said thanks for the work that you do. Because a lot of times when you're working, you're going to get bogged down, you're going to feel stressed out, and you're going to want to quit. It's just a part of the nature of being an entrepreneur. But what helps you move forward are a couple of things. One, knowing why you are doing what you're doing, you know, understanding what that goal is. That's really important. And that's something we always forget when we're so deep into our businesses and on the front lines, of course, but also the inspiration you get from people that you've been able to help and serve, whether it's customers or people who've read your content or people who have seen you live on stage before. It's really important to know that there are people on the other end who need you. They absolutely need you. And that's why we do what we do. And the story I wanted to tell today is actually related to the guest that I have on. His name is Zephin, which is awesome, an awesome name to begin with. But I connected with Zephin last year in July of 2015 at the Podcast Movement. And he came up to me and I didn't recognize him. I had never met him in person, but he had apparently been following Smart Passive Income for years. And I had responded to an email that he sent years ago, and it had started this change in his life. And you know, I wanted to have him come on to tell the story and to talk about how he's been able to live with purpose and these changes that he's made in his life and what it's enabled him to do now. It's just super inspiring. Zephin has a website over at yearofpurpose.com, which I think is a perfect name for a URL, especially this time of the year as we're all starting out and doing cool stuff. And like those of you who have been following me for a while, you know that I came out with a book recently at willitflybook.com, and also a number of other things that I have going on that are in the works. Well, I'm trying to live my life with purpose, and that purpose is for being an example for my kids and also to inspire all of you. And Zephin was really inspiring to me at Podcast Movement, and it was definitely something that I remembered when I went home, because it was really cool to hear how I've been able to affect his life. And not just that, I was so affected by it that I changed my presentation, my keynote presentation, because he came up to me before it happened, and I inserted a little slide in there, and I talked about his story live on stage because it meant so much. So here it is for you, and here is Zephin Blacksburg from yearofpurpose.com, the Year of Purpose podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Hey, what's up, everybody? Pat here, and I'm so happy to welcome Zephin Moses Blacksburg, who is on the show with us from yearofpurpose.com, somebody who is actually very inspiring to me as of late. Somebody who had visited the blog a while back and has had an amazing journey since then. And we're going to talk more about his story in a second. But first of all, Zephin, welcome to the SPA podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just, why don't we start with Podcast Movement? Because we connected at Podcast Movement recently. This was in Fort Worth, Texas. And, you know, you have a podcast as well, Year of Purpose. It's doing amazing work stuff. And I have one too. So we connected there. But I didn't actually realize that we had connected a long time before that. Can you talk about how we connected before then?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had been following you since a coworker of mine just said, hey, you know, we were trying to find ways to make money outside of our jobs. And he was like, have you heard of this guy, Pat? He runs this blog, Smart Passive Income. And so I checked out the blog way back when. This was probably 2011. And I've been following it ever since. And ultimately, I came to work at the Apple store at the Genius Bar, and I left that job in May of 2013. So that's when things kind of started up in the entrepreneurial world for me. And I reached out to you because I was like, you know, you're this successful entrepreneur who has found a way over, you know, a lot of struggles and mistakes and good decisions all at once to make this work. And being, I think it was like 24 at the time, I have no clue how this all is going to work out in the future, but I was looking for some sort of faith that, you know, if he could do it, if he, you know, left his job for the entrepreneurial world, that I could somehow maybe do it too.
Yeah. And, you know, I got that email, and I get a lot of emails like that over time, but I did reply to you. And yeah. Do you remember what I had said?
Yeah. So I don't have it verbatim, but at one point you basically said, you know, I'm sure this is scary, exciting, frustrating, pretty much every emotion all at once. But a few years from now, you're going to look back on it and you'll realize that you didn't regret a single thing.
And the cool thing about Zephin is he came up to me at this event. You know, I had done the keynote presentation and I got to speak to Zephin later on, and he had told me the story, and you had told me what has happened since then. and that you are looking back and so appreciative of this decision that you made to kind of leave your position and start your own stuff. And so tell us really quickly, what have you been up to now since that day?
Yes, I had never guessed that I would be here 2 years ago. Leaving a job May of 2013, within the next week, I created a video production company. And in about 6 months' time, took it from, not a single client, not knowing how to run a business other than, hey, I guess I should probably make business cards and a website, to an invite to shoot video and photos at the White House and the Senate. And then ultimately videos that got placed inside of NHL hockey rinks, NFL stadiums from Philadelphia to California. And it just really kept growing from there. And I could have never expected that to happen. And then starting January of this year, after a bit of a spiritual retreat, some travel hacking and couch surfing around the country, in January, I started the Year of Purpose podcast. And this was really to show other people what was really possible, because all of my friends who were in their mid-20s either got married and, happily had this job and this family they were building, or they were like me and had no clue, what to do with themselves. And they were looking to me for advice. And so it was almost like my message to my friends of, hey, this is totally possible. I'm not a fluke. This is not something that's out of the ordinary. You just have to put your mind to it.
Yeah. I mean, and I can obviously relate to that too. I mean, that's why I started Smart Passive Income, to help others realize that all this stuff was possible too. At any moment in your journey, especially after you quit, did you have doubts on your decision?
Oh, 100%. Probably each and every single month, because as a freelancer, at least up front, you don't have a solid paycheck every 2 weeks like you did with working for a corporation. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was really scary. Where's the money going to come from? I've only had 4 clients this month instead of the 8 that I had last month. And, it's really up to you to bring in that next check. And so I've had so many times where I've sat there and I'm like, I could give up right now. I could, put down the laptop, stand up and walk outside and just give in and say, everyone who told me that I couldn't do this was right and I can't do it. And then I think I kind of remind myself that, at one point in time, this was everything that I wanted. I remember those days where I dreaded going to work. I remember those days where I couldn't go out with friends or do something fun because I had to work on the weekends or had to do, whatever it was that was related to my job. Mm-hmm. And when I remind myself of all of the freedoms that I've gained through all of the struggle, I think it makes it so much easier to say, you're right. I could, just walk away right here and have it be done. But I kind of agreed or made a promise to myself that I would carry this through.
Yeah. And I think that's really the big thing, is you have to really just understand, well, why is it you are doing what you want to do in the long run, what it is that you ultimately want. And I think you realize what that was and you just kept going. And so the big question I have that I think are on a lot of people's minds who are listening to this is, how do you go from quitting and not really knowing exactly what you were going to do to creating a successful video production company? First of all, what made you decide to go into video production, and take us through that journey and kind of over time in terms of what made you decide that and what it was like at the beginning, and then how did you get to a point where you're at now? I mean, this is incredible. And you had told me you're doing some other stuff for some very, very famous shows too. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Not crazy. So, I mean, it's not crazy because you did it. I mean, sorry to use that term. I mean, this is awesome. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm just, again, I actually, when Zephyrin reached out to me at Podcast Movement, that reminded me of that email. Like, I remembered it, but I went back into my hotel room, and I don't know if I told you this, but I looked up that email and, I read every word that you had said, because you had mentioned this, and it was like, it really made me smile. And it was like, yes, this is what everybody has to do. And sometimes we have to take these big leaps, and it doesn't always have to be quitting your job, but I think it's more of a mental leap more than anything.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I was actually the most afraid of upsetting my Jewish mother. And I'm sure you can kind of relate to this, having, you know, pressure from the family of, mm-hmm. you know, what are you going to do now? Why are you quitting your job? You still live under our roof. Like, I could kick you out on the street at any minute. And every thought went through my head of, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 24 trying to crash on my friend's couch because my mom just kicked me out of the house. Mm-hmm. And I think that for every person that's asked me, you know, how does all of this happen? First of all, there's no magic wand, right? Like, this is not just I woke up someday and things clicked into place. I think that this was I woke up a lot of days in a row and kept working at it. And eventually I looked back and realized that all of those days consecutively, you know, made up this huge effort that brought me to here. So mm-hmm. this is not a, you know, go to sleep, wake up the next morning and have a successful business. But when I think back to the night that I decided to quit, that's where I learned a lot of lessons that have brought me to where I am right now. And the biggest or most important one was that I was actually taken out to dinner by a freelance client of mine. So I've been doing videography for a little bit, and that had been what I went to high school and college for. So for me, it kind of just made sense. You know, this is your skill, you're really good at it, and you can help others with it. And I hadn't fully figured that whole piece out yet, which I'll clarify in a minute, because storytelling was what I learned was the ultimate passion. But that night that I decided to quit, basically someone came into the Apple store, extremely upset, caused a scene. He was actually there in the store and witnessed it all go down. And he came up to me and was like, what was that all about? And I said, well, this is my job. I basically get paid to be people's therapist. Mm. And he said, all right, I'm taking you out to dinner. So we're sitting at dinner and he said, you know, what is stopping you from creating your own business and doing this for yourself? And I said, well, to be honest, it's just the money. I'm afraid of being successful and making money. I'm afraid of how I'm going to stay afloat if I'm not making enough money. It all came down to this fear. And he said, all right, do you know how to make $1 million? And I said, not really. I mean, I've seen other people do it. And he said, okay, what are you making right now? And at the time, I was making roughly $30,000. And so he says, okay, pull out your phone and open up the calculator. You've got 12 months in a year. And he starts to write this down as like a little stepladder on a napkin. Mm-hmm. And he said, divide the $30,000 that you're making right now by 12. Like, okay, $2,500. How in the world am I going to make that in a month? You know, for me, I'm like, this is not any easier. This is not helping. I'm like, all right, let's try and break this down a little bit more, because he didn't want to frustrate me right up front. And he said, all right, let's just assume that you work, you know, 50 out of the 52 weeks a year. You get, you know, 2 for sick and vacation time. And assuming you're working 5 days out of the week, that's 250 days that you're working in the year. So now if you take the $30,000 and you divide it by 250, you actually get $120. And so he took this, what seemed to be unobtainable goal of making $30,000 in a year. And he said, you don't have to make $30,000 in a year. You have to make $120 5 days a week for 50 out of the 52 weeks in the year. And suddenly things clicked. It was like, you know, I could mow the neighbor's lawn in the summer and shovel driveways in the winter. Like, every idea popped up in my head is, you know, how can you not make $120 5 days a week?
Right.
And that was really it, was this lesson of breaking things down into smaller obtainable goals. And that's where everything else came to for me. So this big success is not necessarily this big success. It's all these smaller obtainable goals that have kind of compiled over time. And now they look like this huge success. But ultimately, it's been a lot of, you know, really good decisions, a lot of mistakes, a lot of learning lessons, and all pieced together.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tactic that I always share as well, is taking those big goals and breaking them down. And when they involve numbers, it just becomes very, very clear. This reminds me of Kevin Kelly's 1,000 True Fans, where, for example, you had 1,000 people in this world of 7 billion who loved what you did so much. And this article is written primarily for musicians and artists, but I feel like it's very applicable for entrepreneurs as well, is, you know, if you had 1,000 people who loved what you did and paid you $100 a year for it, that's already a six-figure income. I mean, the numbers can truly change your mindset about certain things. And so the whole purpose of this article is, you know, you just get your raving fans, and you don't have to to change the whole world. You don't have to be in a massive niche. You can niche down. And that's where that phrase, the riches are in the niches, come from. But also the realization and the truth is in the numbers too. You know, I think a lot of people can agree that, okay, well, if you're going to do $120 5 days a week, would you do that doing something that you're passionate about, that you are skilled at? Would you rather do that or go and work for somebody else? And I think for you, it was very clear what that answer was. And so you decided to go into video. And what were your first steps coming off of that conversation and quitting? How did you, like, what was the first thing you did besides create your business card?
So that's where, you know, I really had no experience. You know, it's like I know nothing about accounting, invoicing. I knew a little bit about website building only because I had actually followed a lot of your trainings and had built a blog way back when about how to shoot professional looking video from an iPhone. Mm. And so that was kind of like my start in building a website. So I was set there for the most part. But everything else, you know, I didn't know that I needed an LLC. I didn't know that I had to hire an accountant and get an attorney and all these things set up. And so it really came down to a couple of Google searches. And, you know, you land on the Small Business Administration page, and they actually have a lot of pretty good resources that at least point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to that big overarching goal and figuring out how to break it down, I think Google and YouTube are quite possibly your best friends on this one. And then also partnering up with people who have done it already. You know, my dad is a doctor and he runs his own business. And a lot of other people in my family had their own businesses. So it was very easy to find people and ask, you know, what did you do up front? And they said, oh, you're going to need invoicing. You're going to need a business account, you know, and going to the bank and asking them, I need to make a business account. How do I do that? And so many people are willing to help. It's just a matter of figuring out, you know, to ask those questions in the right way.
Right, right. And now we're in this world where everybody's connected and sharing information. So it shouldn't be that hard to find somebody who's done what you want to do. And it's just a matter of reaching out to them and building a relationship with them and also providing value to them so they can come back and help you out along the way too.
Exactly.
What was your first experience with working with another client like? Like, how did you land that client? How did you find them? And what was it like working with them?
Yeah, so the cool thing was actually the guy who convinced me to quit my job was my first client.
No way.
So,
dude, this guy is like an angel from heaven, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, what are you really afraid of now that he took the money fear away? And I was like, well, where do I get my first client? And he said, well, I need you next week. Are you available?
That was his master plan, actually, the whole time.
Yeah, so I mean, ultimately, he really helped me out and definitely grateful for that opportunity. But after that, I actually went back and emailed pretty much anyone I had connected to. And I just, you know, drafted out this email of, hey, here's where I'm at right now. You know that I've been freelancing and doing video for a while. My job before I worked at Apple, I was running a video studio. So, you know, a lot of people knew that I was doing it. And I said, look, like, I'm available for hire now. And I made the mistake, actually, of saying that I'd do pretty much anything. So it actually started with wedding videography and stuff that I don't do anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think one of my first clients was probably a wedding after that one. And let's say some brides become interesting people on their wedding day.
Yeah, you ran into some bridezillas. And, you know, I know anybody who's planning a wedding, male or female, it just can get very stressful on that day. And, you know, if you're a vendor, you aren't really top priority.
Yeah.
That's for sure. At what point during this process were you like, yeah, this is for me? Because I think a lot of people, even if they are working, and I experienced this too when I started selling my ebook, I always felt like one day it was just all going to come crashing down. Like one day just all book sales were going to stop. And I used to get to a point where when I was, you know, had my ebook, it was selling hundreds of dollars a day. And then maybe for a 4 or 5 hour period of time, there would be no sales. And I would always think, well, there it is. That was the last one. There it is. And then, of course, more would come down the future. But, you know, we always try to stop ourselves in that way. Did you feel that way? And at what point did you do? And how did you keep going?
Yeah, so I remember back to an experience at probably one of my first networking events. You know, I thought, okay, got a business now, probably have to meet people. Looked up some networking event online that happened to be pretty much right down the street from where I live. And I went there and I'm thinking, you know, I can never match up to these people. There's everyone from insurance agents to a graphic designer that works with NFL and NHL teams to doctors and lawyers and, you know, all walks of life. And I'm sitting in this room and we go around and we have to introduce ourselves. And I'm the one guy who's so nervous I can barely get a single word out about what I do. And even when I did, people didn't quite understand. Like, they were like, you have a camera and you do what? And after this event, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is it. Like, I don't even know what I do, you know? And if I don't know what I do, how is anyone else going to know? Mm-hmm. And this guy walks over to me, happened to be the graphic designer that was in the event. And he goes, hey, you know, I do some graphics work and website work. Every now and then I do animation stuff. Do you do animation? And I had dabbled in it, but I didn't have a lot of grasp on the different animation programs. So I'm thinking, you know what? This could be an opportunity here. Let's not mess this up. And I just said, yes. And this was one of those moments where it was kind of fake it till you make it. But also I knew that I had networked with some people and I could probably find somebody to help me out with this. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he emails me a few weeks later and says, the Philadelphia Eagles just called. We need an animation that's going to go up on their screens all around the stadium. And I'm like, oh, because I like, you know, I didn't expect him to call. I was just thinking, you know, this will make me look good to other people and maybe they'll understand what I do. Mm-hmm. And that was when I realized that I could work with other people and create this team of not only videographers, but sound and lighting and animation people. And that was when I first built a team out and got an animator who lived, I think, in Seattle. And he did this animation and we worked together to make it happen. And next thing you know, it's playing at the Philadelphia Eagles stadium.
That's so crazy. What did that feel like to you?
It was nuts because I never expected any of this. You know, I'm thinking maybe I'll be this guy who does these wedding videos for the rest of my life and hopefully I'll make a living. And it, next thing you know, a video that I worked on and did some design work for is playing in front of probably 65, 70,000 people. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. What's been the biggest struggle with the freelance stuff that you've done?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think the biggest struggle is probably the balance of work and life. And being a creative mind, there's always so many ideas that come up and so many things that you want to do. And I think the hardest part has been saying no to things because there's so many cool opportunities that start to pop up. And that's been really tough for me because I've really had a couple of times where it's a full-on breakdown of I don't know if I can juggle all the things that I've taken on. Mm-hmm. And I think that never really goes away as an entrepreneur is what I'm kind of learning now is I kept hoping that it would. And I think that it becomes less and less frequent, but that struggle of, you know, making sure that you as a person, that you are solid so that you can do your work, mm-hmm. is huge. And so I learned so much more about taking care of myself. And I learned to row. I've actually never rowed in my life. And over the last 2 years, I've become an avid rower and actually have competed in races that are nationally sanctioned.
No way. What kind of rowing? Like on a scull or on a canoe? Or
yes, I'm finishing up my bow certification for a single scull.
Nice.
And I've worked my way up to being able to do 18 kilometers in a single row in a single scull.
Wow. So I've never, so a scull is like a, you know, like crew for those of you who are listening. I used to row lightweight crew. I don't know if you knew this. And it was like one of the most fun things I've ever done. So many amazing memories from my time in crew. And actually I'd gotten injured at one point and I started to be the coxswain for the women's team because their coxswain quit. And we actually won a lot of races and it's just the best feeling in the world to be on the water and do that. Actually, this is making me want to go get back into rowing because it's actually very good exercise too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, rowing and just focusing on yourself and you know, the exercise, that can definitely improve, you know, yourself being to be able to produce more and be happier and stress-free and that sort of thing. In terms of saying no, though, I know I struggle with this as well, though I've been getting better. How do you know what to say no to and what to say yes to?
That's really tough because I've been asked to do so many great things. So for example, a couple of the things that I've said yes to are, you know, I got asked to be on a board of directors for a nonprofit that is trying to transform the lives of people in the city of Baltimore. And for me, that is a huge calling. I've mm-hmm. always been, I wouldn't say a sucker, but for a lack of better terms, a sucker for helping the homeless people and helping anyone in need or that, you know, is less fortunate than myself. So I knew that that was a project that I had to take on. And even though I've been extremely busy, I've found a way to clear the space and the time to make that happen. Now, on the other hand, I've actually had to say no to quite a few things. Everything from being a member of people's mastermind groups to working with them in certain coaching programs or even video projects, because you know, you can only handle so much. And so I think it's just really looking at what all is on your plate right now and saying, okay, you know, is this something that I don't have to do right now? You know, there's certain things you can always push off. And I think that if it's something that you don't have the space for right now, but you will have the ability to do in the future, then that's definitely something you can say no to. I think that it's really a hard choice. And sometimes it really is just, you know, you're throwing darts at a dartboard and whichever one sticks. But it's knowing where your limit is too, and making sure that you stay healthy mentally.
Yeah, I love that. And thank you for being honest with that. What is the name of the organization, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, so it's called Mission Fit, and we just got it off the ground. I was actually pulling nails out of the old floorboards about 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh.
And we're putting this together piece by piece, but it's actually starting to look like a gym now, and super excited to get people in there and start changing people's lives.
I love it. You're doing so much to help others, Zephan, and I think that's why it's always coming back to you. And, you know, for people who are listening right now, who maybe are unsatisfied with whatever it is that they're doing or struggling with things, you know, I know you're talking about this a lot on your podcast as well. So I'd love for you to chime in and just offer any advice that you have for people who are, you know, they're just not where they want to be. And you've obviously gone through the transformation. You're continuing to transform as well. And from your perspective, what advice would you offer for those people?
Yeah, so I think that the law of attraction is a huge thing here, because I remember those days where I would get stuck and perhaps have a breakdown, and I'm walking around the rest of the day in this negative mindset, and I saw it. I would go to the gym and nobody would talk to me, versus I'd have other days where everybody's talking to me. And once I learned that, you know, like attracts like, positive attracts positive, that was a huge deal. And I think that a lot of things fell into place once I was able to be there for others, to you know, be someone who can make them laugh or smile or just help them out. So the world has started to help me out as I help others. And it's so hard to explain because it's one of those metaphysical things that you can't really touch or see.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's only when you let go of the fact that there are so many things that you can't control and that the world just has a way of taking care of you, that's when it starts to do it.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. And like you said, it's not anything you can measure. It's not anything you could see, but it just like attracts like. And it's so true. Thank you for that, Zephan.
Yeah.
What's next for you? What you know, I know you have the nonprofit that you're on the board for, which I think is great and amazing. And I'm into philanthropy right now as well. And I forever will be at this point. And I'm always searching for new things as well. So this is really inspiring to me to hear that. But what's on the horizon for you?
Yeah, so right now I am super excited, actually. I would never have seen myself 2 or 3 years ago writing. I always despised writing. My mom was an occupational therapist and used to try to teach me how to hold a pencil properly. And she would bring home those little foamy things that you would put around the pencil to make you hold the pencil properly, and I would rebel. And I actually... As a kid, this is terrible, I taught myself how to write improperly because I was a rebel. And so because of that, I've always disliked writing, but I have written a book. It's with the editor right now. So when I sent it off, it was at about 197 pages. Wow. That could mean that when it comes back, it's down to like 40 pages and they say that it's all bad. But no. They have told me that my grammar is much better than I thought it was. So that's a little bit, you know, I'm okay with that, but I want to see the final piece when it's done. So super excited about that. And the book is called Life Rescripted. And the subtitle is, so it's Life Rescripted, Find Your Purpose and Design Your Dream Life Before the Curtains Close. And it's all about analyzing your life as if it were a movie script. You know, we all have a story and we all have the script of who we are right now. And if you really sit down and look at that story, is it the story that you want? Or is it, you know, are you living that story? Or is there still the story to be written, to be lived? And so it's all about figuring out, you know, what is your current script now? What is the story of the life that you want to live? And figuring out how to get from A to B.
I love that. Works perfectly into your film background and video background. I think it's really cool. I'm really excited to see it and read it.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I was actually diagnosed with a learning disability when I was a teenager in high school, and I could actually read entire books, and I couldn't even tell you what the names of the characters were. I would forget everything.
Wow.
And so I was never somebody who, you know, I thought was going to do things like this. You know, I thought I would live by the script. You know, I'd go to college, get a degree, find a job, you know, work it for 40 years and save for retirement, build a family, and that would be it. And, you know, I'm just turned 26 and the script has totally changed.
Love it. Congratulations, Stefan. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to see what else is in store for you in the future with this book and even beyond that. And if there's anything I could do to support your nonprofit, let me know.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, man. So yearofpurpose.com. We've got a podcast available on iTunes, and we put out new stuff each and every week. So anywhere, you know, within the podcast store, Stitcher, things like that. And also for everyone listening in, I'd love to kind of give something away to all you guys. I've created a link. It's yearofpurpose.com/SPI. And it's for you guys only. I've got over 100 video interviews with people. I've got a 21-day challenge where you get a video from me each and every morning that helps you work your way towards more gratitude and happiness in your life. And this is actually something that I tested in my own life. And so it's yearofpurpose.com/SPI. There's so much stuff there. I've never given any of this stuff away for free. And I'm giving it away for free to everybody listening in right now.
Thank you for that. Thanks, Stefan. We appreciate you. We wish you the best of luck, and thank you again for sharing all this here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Zephan Blacksburg. Again, just a super inspirational, down-to-earth guy who pulled the trigger, and that's really what it's all about, and living his life with purpose. And hopefully you guys are all doing that too. And actually, I want to reiterate that URL that he mentioned, which is yearofpurpose.com/SPI. If you go there, you'll see a nice little video from him. Actually, this is a great example of what you can do when you are a guest on another person's podcast. And you want to make a great connection from that URL to continuing that conversation on your own site. So if anything, go for that reason. And you could see what Zephan has to say there, how he's connected this interview to that landing page. It's really smart. So check it out for that purpose. But also watch the video. You'll actually see in this video me on stage at Podcast Movement in that keynote presentation like I talked about earlier, and actually calling out Zephan's name on stage. So just really cool video, Zephan. I know you're listening to this. Thank you. And please continue what you're doing, because you're inspiring me at the same time. And hopefully I can continue to inspire you and everybody else out there who's listening. I also want to mention that the links and the resources for this particular episode are conveniently available for you at smartpassiveincome.com/session202. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/202. Hey, and really quick, I want to let you know about a page on the website that might be really helpful for you. A lot of you are already taking action on what you've heard on the podcast, which is fantastic, but a lot of you have also messaged me asking for more deeper information, more fine-tuned and highly targeted information for specific problems and pains that you might be having. So what I did was I actually put together a few courses. There's more courses actually coming down the road, but you could check out all the courses and things that are available to you there at smartpassiveincome.com/courses. My team and I have worked really hard to put together the best information that'll help you solve specific problems that you might be having in your business. So if you're just starting out and you need help and you need accountability, handholding, you want a community behind this as well, check it out. smartpassiveincome.com/courses. You can see what's available there. All different kinds of courses to help you through a number of different things you might be working on. And like I said, there are more courses coming down the road too. So one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/courses. Thank you so much for listening in today. I truly appreciate you, and I look forward to serving you in the next episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Until then, keep pushing yourself. Keep doing that one thing that you know is going to move the needle, and keep living with purpose and doing with purpose. I appreciate you guys. Take care. Love you. And I'll see you in the next episode. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneur's editor-in-chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone could be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.